It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the fifth day of April, 2023. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tube. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. And where if you pop in right now, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers, Theo and Squeaky and New Jersey Nick, and thoroughly incapably moderated by, well, me, because it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and, we'll see who wanders by to do the professional moderating. Y'all behave while I'm there, okay? Yeah, hi, I'm Robin, and it's prayer meeting Wednesday. It is. We got some prayer meeting stuff to, and then just an absent with all the Michigas from yesterday. There's some stuff to get caught up with. You know, other stuff that actually matters that isn't, you know, him. So anyway, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. That means we say thank you to our fifth day of the month subscribers. Thank you so kindly to Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thanks very kindly indeed. Thank you to Kenda. Thanks to Kenda in Missouri, who says, "Hey, Jude!" Because Jude mentioned Kenda, and that's the way this... So it's a little community rolls, and I think it's really sweet. And thanks to our pal Claire across the pond. Thank you so much, Claire, for jumping in. And thank you to our friend Jessica, my sister Jessica in Minnesota. And what that means is that we are down to... we were at $535. We're now at $510 to get caught up with fundraising. Knock down a couple more bills. Yeah, paid another one last night. Yay. But thank you so much for being partial sponsors of the program. And point of fact, I had a note from my sister Jessica up in Minnesota. She said, please share with the Horn Community Congregation. I would have loved to have participated in the show on Friday, but I was a little preoccupied with getting home and getting comfortable after surgery. Still experiencing a little discomfort, but nothing excruciating. The worst of it is lightheaded and spaced out feeling from the 50 milligrams of oxy I take in the morning to help stay on top of the pain, but naps and Tylenol help keep me feeling human. So my apologies for not being visible with you on the International Transgender Day of Visibility, but I hope you, Miss Terry, and all the other trans folks in the Horn community, even those who are in the closet, had a wonderful day. And to those in the latter, just remember that I and your trans siblings see you, we love you, accept you, and validate you, and we await the day when you're ready to come out and introduce yourself to us. Small consolation for my absence, though, is that I made history at the Mayo Clinic. While tissue expanders have been used a number of times in breast reconstruction surgery for breast cancer patients following mastectomies, but never in breast augmentation surgery for transgender women until Friday. I'm the first. And I've now set a precedent for my fellow trans siblings seeking that option in their transitions. And I got to do it on my third anniversary of coming out to the world as Jessica. So I'm 300 cc's more enhanced with 450 cc's to go towards my ultimate goal. And after listening to Monday's episode, I hope you get to reach your goal too, Robin. Thank you, Jessica. Jessica heard the code. Anyway, I'm chilling out and streaming today's episode and slid a $5 donation your way. And if anyone else wants to do the same to celebrate my happiness and a belated Transgender Day of Visibility, it would be appreciated. Have a wonderful evening, y'all, and I'll be in touch again soon. I love it when Minnesotans say y'all. I just love that. And with the when you hear a Minnesotan say y'all in the actual accent and dialect, it's positively charming. And Jessica says, I should add, when I say trans, that includes all transgender, non-binary, gender fluid, and other gender non-conforming folks. Thanks, Jessica. Thank you so very much. Then this from Steve in New York. Breaking news, mass theft of ketchup packets and tabletop ketchup dispensers at McDonald's across Florida. Police are investigating. Oh, yeah. And you know what? I don't think I'm ever, and this is nothing particularly geared toward the Heinz company. I don't think I'm ever going to order or buy Heinz ketchup again, because I have gotten my hands on Annie's organic, no high fructose corn syrup ketchup. And it's really good. In fact, I had some earlier today. Well, been meaning to mention this, but we got a care package of wonderful stuff. I had for lunch today, I had some tomato bisque with roasted red peppers and cream, keto friendly. It was yummy. I loved that a lot. So thank you. Thank you to the person who sent that along. There's a lot of other goodies in there, too. Our friend knows that I have a salsa problem. And yes, the organic salsa is just wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it is prayer meeting Wednesday. There's Anatole in the chat room. I love it when people say yins. Yeah, that's an alternative term for folks from the greater Pittsburgh area. Yinzers. Yins want to go down to Eaton Park and get some gravy fries? Mm-hmm. Yins. So, like I said, it's prayer meeting Wednesday. And, instead of doing the usual prayer meeting Wednesday shtick, we'll just give that a pass, because we've only got some low-grade, disgusting religion news for today. Who am I kidding? It's disgusting. It's nauseating. First of all, just as a reminder for this prayer meeting Wednesday. Okay, that's a little bit of the shtick. Glory. A reminder that religious insanity is certainly not limited to the new 90 states of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, amen. In South Africa, a preacher has finally been buried. That doesn't come off quite right, but down in Johannesburg, South Africa, there was a preacher named Siva Moodley. And he was dying, but he thought he was going to be resurrected. And so the family wanted to leave him in the morgue. which they did. And eventually the funeral home had to go to a court to seek leave to finally bury Reverend Moodley. He died somewhere around August 14th, 2021. He was 53 years old. And at the time, he was running a gospel shop called the Miracle Center Ministry in Johannesburg. Their website says, at the Miracle Center, miracles really are normal. Cancers healed, blind eyes and deaf ears opened, legs grown, and gold dust are just some of the regular miracles. Nothing in there about the regenerating toes. They need to up their game at the Miracle Center to include regenerating toes that regenerate while you watch. What a gullible. I mean, but at least the dude's in the dirt now. Employees of the funeral home had to try 28 times to reach the family, the wife of the gospel sharp, trying to find out what to do with his body. Martin DeToit said, the family's completely broken any contact with us. He manages the funeral home. We've tried numerous times to reach the family by phone, SMS, email, WhatsApp, but it's all gone unanswered. But back in August when he died, his widow said, I've had a vision that he's going to be resurrected. Grief is a horrible thing, especially when something happens suddenly. It's horrible. And just because, well, it's who they are, there's a website. There's a website called Catholic Vote. And it appears to be a right-wing cesspit of the kind of theocracy that is currently gripping the nation at the ordering of our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties on the court. Adam Michael Natina, a 34-year-old writer for Catholic Vote's website, is presently under arrest because on March the 28th, the day after the shooting at Covenant Presbyterian School in Nashville, he picked up the phone, Adam Michael Netna did, and said, you guys going to shoot up our schools now? Is that how it's going to be? You're just going to kill little kids? Let me tell you something. We're waiting. We're waiting. And if you want a war, we'll have a war. And we'll fucking slaughter you back. We'll cut your throats. We'll put a bullet in your head. We're not going to give a fuck. You started this bullshit. You're going to kill us. We're going to kill you 10 times more in full. Adam Michael Netna apparently missed the other 2,839 mass shootings in this country that involved good, Christian, cisgender, heterosexual, mostly men. Catholic Vote is a conservative, non-profit political advocacy group. Back in 2016, after the slaughter at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando, Adam Michael Netna published an opinion piece for Catholic Vote that said, we have nothing to apologize for. And he's been barking and braying and grunting and bleating about trans radicalization. Sorry to start on the trans stuff so early, but if we're doing prayer meeting Wednesday, odds are it's going to touch on this. Just is. And meanwhile, Catholic Vote said,
well, we have zero tolerance for threats of violence from any employee or independent contractor. We have terminated this individual's independent contractor agreement, and the few articles that he produced have been removed from our website.
Yeah, I wonder if they removed. Yeah, we have nothing to apologize for after the slaughter at Pulse. So, yeah, he lashed out at the Human Rights Campaign. And, of course, when Human Rights Campaign turned in the call to law enforcement, they traced the number to Adam Michael Netna, who had bragged on social media, by the way. Stand by. Bragged on social media that he owns a semi-automatic assault rifle. For the threat he made, if he's convicted and sentenced in full, he's looking at 5 years in federal prison, and he should get every damn second of it. The shit has got to stop. But having mentioned the Covenant School shooting, the officers involved in responding to that attack held a press conference yesterday. Detective Sergeant Jeff Mathis, Detective Michael Collazo, and Officer Rex Engelbert all spoke. And they talked about how their training kicked in and they knew what to do. And one one quote just jumped off the screen at me. Officer Engelbert said, I really had no business being where I was. I think you can call it fate or God or whatever you want, but I can't count on both my hands the irregularities that put me in that position when a call for service came out for a deadly aggression at a school. Another of the officers said it was, and this was the part that kind of gave me the horrors. All three officers said it was strictly a matter of luck that they were in the area last week. Remember, their response time was something on the order of 14 minutes. But it was luck. So it is only a matter of luck that there are only 6 dead only. And not 16 or 26 or 60. Luck. Luck that there are only 6 dead. Luck. You know, when you have to rely on luck in school shootings, you're in a bad place. These cops wouldn't have to be lucky if we didn't make it so easy for lawful gun owners like Audrey Hale to acquire weapons of war. But I don't have to say that. You know that. We know that. The only people who don't acknowledge that are the people who value guns more than children. God. Oh, and by the way, just a reminder, y'all, some lawful gun owner's going to do it again. And again and again. We had the clip last night from that one, that one poltroon, that pillock, that wastrel, member of the Tennessee legislature, who told children who live in fear every day of their lives, because people like him won't do anything, he asked them which gun they would prefer to be shot with. Oblivious to the fact that there is a big difference between luck when one is attacked with a revolver with five rounds in the cylinder, or a semi-automatic pistol that holds 7+1, or even a semi-automatic pistol with a magazine that's got a double stack. I said magazine, so the little gun humpers won't get butt hurt. I mean, even 20 rounds in a semi-automatic pistol is a far cry from 100 in a magazine and an AR-15, but they seem not to be able to comprehend that. Beats the dickens out of me. Going back to the homicidal Catholic there, the white, cisgender, heterosexual Roman Catholic homicidal maniac. Got to get all the descriptors in there now, y'all. All. Yeah. Kay writes in and says, it's almost like that Roman Catholics are the rapists, pedophiles, and groomers. Well, I mean, it does happen there. I mean, quite a few dioceses have bankrupted over the fact that they had priests who couldn't keep their hands off little children. Don't tell Marjorie Taylor Queen. And with regard to strictly a matter of luck, Kay says, we live in a fucking country where it's luck if a school shooting is stopped before more than six people die. What the fuck is wrong with us? All caps. I think that's a rhetorical question, the what the fuck is wrong with us part. But it actually is quantifiably answerable. It's not what's wrong with you, Kay. It's not what's wrong with me. It's not what's wrong with the Horn Family Community Congregation. It is what's wrong with conservatives, Republicans, maggots in this country. But even that's a little bit overbroad, because if you look at the national polling data, even some Republicans want gun reform. It's what's wrong with Republican politicians who repeatedly cash checks from outfits like the National Rifle Association. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, thanks to our pal Kat in Ohio. Kat wanted to put a challenge on the table this evening, $25. Thank you, Kat. $25 Wisconsin Change is a Coming Challenge. For the big victory in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race yesterday. And what's his name? Dan Kelly? Dan Dirtbag Kelly? Yeah, that guy's a shitbird, isn't he? Did you see his post?
I wish I could offer a concession, but I do not have an honorable opponent. She is a liar.
Now, remember, this is a guy who was down with trying to dummy up the Wisconsin election results back in 2020, so that probably tells you everything you could possibly ever want to know about him. And good God, he is an ugly soul. And Janet Protasiewicz's Protasiewicz's election means a lot in Wisconsin. Quite possibly the striking down the ancient law that was passed by the state of Wisconsin early in its history. You know, passed by a bunch of men. White men. Banning abortion before women could even vote. But it's not just that. The Supreme Court, depending on how the our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties rule, the Wisconsin Supreme Court can now try to ungerrymander Wisconsin if there is a redistricting case that comes up. And that's vitally important. The Wisconsin idea, which Snot Walker, the former governor, and his pet Republican legislature tried to completely undo, may yet see, well, it may rise from the Wisconsin idea may rise from the ashes, and I certainly hope it does. So, yeah, thanks for the challenge, Kat. Kat will match the next $25 that come in, and that'll get us down to $460 to go, which is basically, well, right now at 510, we're part of Tuesday and all of today. 210 of Tuesday and all of today. So if anybody wants to double their money, Kat is eager so to do. I appreciate that. I appreciate your note, Steve, in New York. That's very kind. Protasiewicz. I've been struggling with that for weeks now. Protasiewicz. Thank you, Steve. And the pronunciation of the loser is big, red-faced, cisgender, Christian, white, male, dickhead. That's the pronunciation of his name. But we're not done with the prayer meeting Wednesday portion of the program. Oh, no. Got one more. This one, of course, comes from Talavama. Yeah, Flavio, you're right. Kelly, what a scumbag, Flavio writes. It was his campaign that spread moral panic about the Dems wanting to trans the children and other vile texts several a day in the days leading up to the election. And once again, a Republican who has run on trans panic finds himself on the losing end of a campaign. You know, they might notice this one of these days and... Nah. Because the hate, it's almost as though the hate is more important than the victory. But we go down to Talavama, where where the father of a student at a
Faith Academy.
I mean, that's really the name of the school. It's one of those private academies. Academies popped up all over the South in the wake of Brown versus Board of Education, because good God-fearing white Christian families didn't want their precious children going to school with those people. Yeah. Well, Faith Academy is a
Christian academy
in Mobile, Alabama. Or at least Mobile County, Alabama. Know it well. A student's father filed a complaint and a petition for a restraining order against Faith Academy. Why? Well, one of the girls on the softball team was raped. a 16-year-old girl told police about what had happened to her, and she told her parents as well. 16. She, of course, said it was consensual, because that's what groomers do. You know, the real ones.
No, it's okay. It's okay. We're in love.
And the rapist, of course, was a man by the name of Jonathan Sowers, who was arrested last month. He was a coach at Faith Academy and a science teacher. What do you want to bet they teach intelligent design or young earth? Mythology in their science classes. Never mind. Sowers waived his rights and to a lawyer and just began telling the police all about the sexual contact he had with the little girl and the sexual intercourse he had with the little girl. And remember, this is a Christian school. Kind of dovetails with some of what we've speculated about, and it was speculation, about the background and causes of the Covenant School shooting. I may be wrong. I don't think I am. Oh, no. So, here's where it gets even more disgusting, if that's possible. Girl played softball. You might recall, you know, we haven't seen anything from Coach Dave Daubenmeyer in a while. But you might recall that freak grumbled into a microphone about how it was a miracle that his daughters went to college and played softball in college and didn't turn into lesbians. Well, according to the suit papers in Mobile County, they told the young woman, the girl softball, that she could not play softball unless she and her parents signed a save and hold harmless document promising not to sue the school. The complaint in court says no other member of the girls' softball team is being asked to sign such a document. And the girl's apparently a pretty good softball player and has a chance to maybe get a scholarship to play in college. But they've had to go to court to get this Christian to school to stop abusing the law. And then this, the Maryland Attorney General, Anthony Brown, released a redacted report today, Wednesday. Thanks, A.G. Brown. That worked nicely. And in it, he says that 100, this is based on an investigation by the Attorney General's Office of Maryland, 156 Roman Catholic clergy members, seminarians, deacons, teachers, and other employees of the Archdiocese of Baltimore abused nearly 600 children since the 1940s. The investigation has been going on for 4 years. It was launched by former Attorney General Brian Frosch. Lawyers, investigators examined over 100,000 pages of documents dating back to the 1940s, interviewed hundreds of victims and witnesses. And in the report, well, from the 1940s through 2002, so there's 21 years that are still not covered, Over 100 Roman Catholic priests and other archdiocese personnel engaged in horrific and repeated abuse of the most vulnerable children in their communities, while archdiocesan leadership looked the other way. Time and again, members of the church's hierarchy resolutely refused to acknowledge allegations of child sexual abuse for as long as possible. Additionally, the Office of the Attorney General created an email address and telephone hotline for persons to report information about clergy abuse. Over 300... I need that to read differently. That sounds like the clergy are the ones being abused. Information about abuse by clergy. Over 300 people contacted the office, and Office of the Attorney General investigators reached out and interviewed hundreds of victims and witnesses. Many of those who came forward had told their story before. Some came forward for the first time. And it was via a ruling by Circuit Court Judge Robert Taylor last month that made it possible for the public to see a redacted copy of the report. But then again, there's language in the report that says the accusations described in this report do not constitute findings of guilt. Then there's Baltimore, our Archbishop William Lurie, who issued a statement.
Well, the report is likely to evoke many emotions, anger, disgust, disillusionment, and sadness among them. Though the Archdiocese has made great strides over the last three decades to rid the Church of the scourge of abuse and to set the standard for how institutions should respond to allegations of child sexual abuse, the report covers a period in the Archdiocese's past when our response to such allegations was woefully inadequate.
Woefully inadequate? How about evil? How about the response was just evil? Because that does really seem to cover the issue a bit better. And then, of course, well, you know, the First Amendment, Congress will make no law establishing a religion or abridging the free exercise thereof. Seems like some of these skeevy dioceses were more criminal organizations than they were spiritual. But whereas we would try to shut down the mob, a criminal conspiracy, as long as it's a church, well, that's special. Special. Yeah, it's a lot. And of course we have some more outbreaks of freedom to discuss this evening. We'll get to those too. Oh dear God! I just had to ask. What's Coach Dave Daubenmeyer been up to? Steve in New York tells me he held a 2-hour prayer call Sunday night. I guess this was a couple of months ago, against the satanic halftime show at the Super Bowl. Steve adds, because Steve consumes a good bit of international content, especially focused on the UK, Steve said, this hit me like a gut punch. I was listening to one of the programs I follow in the UK. The woman I was listening to said that she would not live in the United States, not because of the people or the nation, but because of the guns. Robin, that said everything to me. One of our closest allies says that a part of our culture scares them. Maybe that doesn't hit anyone else like this, but it did hit me. It's who we are. We use our voices, we use the tools that we have available to us. But until such time as Republicans love children more than guns, this is going to continue. And until people are able to overcome right-wing Republican gerrymandering in shithole states, this is going to continue to be, and it's not even new, just our abnormality. Of course, Steve, that's a blade that cuts both ways. Because I think I said the other night that I could never, I don't even know if I could go to, I'd love to. I don't even know if I could go to the UK safely. Not because of guns, but because of the rampant hatred that's taking place there. The Tory government is on the verge of, if they have not already, stripped every right that trans people have on Turf Island. I mean, restrooms, for God's sakes. How could I? Not that I'm ever going to have the money, but it's nice to think about. So there's that. But I said that we have some Freedom Protector news. Before we get there, let's go down to Texas, where today the Senate Education Committee took up a bill that would require schools to put up big old posters of the Ten Commandments, you know, about coveting your neighbor's wife's ass and thing, right? You know, that bizarre bullshit. And of course, the maggots invited a mother. Yeah. To testify in favor of the bill. And they've gotten rather detail oriented, these theocrats, this time through in Texas. The bill actually requires that the religious document, because, you know, thou shalt not kill, okay, but most of it is about obeying ancient Hebrew religious prescriptions. Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, right? Well, the thing has to be readable from anywhere in the room. Maybe they can put a face of Moses on it. It's kind of like Uncle Sam, where his eyes follow you wherever you're looking. It has to be done in a size and typeface that is legible to a person with average vision from anywhere in the classroom in which the poster or framed copy is displayed. Not every school. Every school classroom. So, Christian mother testified to the Senate committee in Texas about why it was so important for the children. And it has to be in classrooms where children haven't even learned to read yet. Have to have that in it. Yes. This is special. Well, damn it. Hold on. Sometimes things don't run the way we would prefer for them to do. Let's try a different tack. The best part of this is that the good Christian mom doesn't even send her children to school. Yeah, that's... not kidding. So let's see if maybe the audio will work.
The Ten Commandments are not only a sacred text in the Jewish and Christian faiths, but they're also essential to direct secular issues, or more secular issues, of just honoring one's parents, not murdering, not committing adultery, not stealing, not bearing false witness, and not being covetous.
Funny, I bet I know who she voted for president last time and the time before. Yeah, it touches on secular issues. Not committing murder. Not committing adultery. Hearing on the day after the former president of the United States had his adultery and fornication put on display for the world to see. Oh, little sidebar, because it's funny. We went over the indictment briefly yesterday, and contained within the body of the document is an allegation about a hush money payment of $30,000 made to a doorman regarding a love child of Nitwit Nero and some unknown woman. Speculation ran wild. And quite possibly the funniest of the speculation was someone who subtweeted the original tweet about the hush money payment over the love child. Well, the smiling picture of Van Jones. Yeah, you can't. Oh, but anyway, back to Texas Christian mother.
As a mom of seven, I...
Honey, it's not a clown car.
Homeschool because I see what's happening in the public schools. But it is my desire to see order and morality restored to the classrooms. That is, it will again be a place where people can feel safe sending their children. We must restore a biblical standard to our educational system.
Are the posters going to be bulletproof? Can a kid grab the poster and wrap it around them and be safe when some lawful Christian gun owner comes into the school and starts wasting little scholars? Yeah, the Ten Commandments will restore order. You know, why not just post them all up there? You know what would get the kids' attention? That one law about stoning disobedient children. Yeah, they might pay attention then. Prayer meeting Wednesday. Sometimes. Yeah. So I'm here testifying, even though I ain't got a kid in schools, and I wouldn't put my kids in school even with these Ten Commandments posters. Nuh-uh, no how. Oh, and in other gun news, in the wake of the shooting at Covenant Presbyterian School in Nashville, well, there's a really, really good online news source for all things Tennessee called the Tennessee Holler. It's decidedly a progressively oriented site. In fact, we talked here a couple of weeks ago about one of the stories that they broke. About the lieutenant governor of Tennessee sending arguably horny little messages to a young gay man on his Instagram site. Well, this past Saturday night, Justin Canu, the founder of the Tennessee Holler, his family was sleeping. And he announced, on Saturday night, someone targeted our home by shooting several bullets into our house while my family was sleeping. This violence has no place in a civilized society, and we're thankful no one was physically hurt. The authorities have not completed their investigation, and right now we do not know for sure the reason for this attack. We urge the Williamson County Sheriff's Office to continue to investigate this crime and help shed light on Saturday's unfortunate events and bring the perpetrators of this crime to justice. In the meantime, our family remains focused on keeping our children healthy and safe. We don't plan on making any additional statements at this time and hope everyone will respect our privacy. And this is the risk that people who dare to speak up in blood-red shithole MAGA states take. Justin Canu is a brave man. During the height of the pandemic, he spoke up at a school board meeting there in Williamson County. He said, "I'm a dad of a new kindergartner, and her first day was right after the chaos last week. She went to school and was one of just a few kids in her class wearing a mask, which made her ask me why she had to. My answer was because we want to take care of other people. She's 5 years old, but she understood that concept, and it's disappointing that more adults around here can't seem to grasp it. I asked a pastor friend of mine, and he was very clear. There's no actual biblical justification for using the Bible to get out of a mask mandate passed by a majority of this elected board. But thousands are doing it anyway, calling it a religious exemption, which is frankly just sad. Avoiding masks is not in the Bible, but taking care of others is." He has been a bold and truthful witness to the times and place in which he lives. And that is anathema to maggots. Because freedom, I guess. Whew. Yeah, I get it, Flavio. I despise these theocrats. They want to impose their religiosity on us. That is explicitly prohibited in the U.S. Constitution. Not theirs, it isn't. Not their constitution, it isn't. Oh, no. Hell no. They have a reading of the First Amendment that says you have freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And theocrats they are. As to the Ten Commandments, Emilio says, speaking for myself, I know that if I don't see the Ten Commandments at all times, I go into a murderous, adulterous rampage, just chock full of idols. Next thing you know, you're over there coveting asses, and there goes the neighborhood. Thanks, Emilio. Yeah, maybe maybe Texas can pass a law that says everybody has to wear glasses that have special glasses that have the Ten Commandments written on them so that you see them at all times. Flavio says the theocrats want to bring us back to the days of the Scopes monkey trials. I think we're already there. And they're complaining that the monkeys are transgendering the children. There it is. There it is again. Thank you, Bernadette. I was just thinking about that, and you read my mind. Poem by Brian Bilston. England is a cup of tea, France a wheel of ripened brie, Greece a short, squat olive tree, America is a gun. Brazil is football on the sand, Argentina, Maradona's hand, Germany, an oompa band. America is a gun. Holland is a wooden shoe, Hungary a goulash stew, Australia a kangaroo. America is a gun. Japan is a thermal spring, Scotland is a highland fling. Oh, better to be anything than America as a gun. So true. Thanks, Bernadette. Thank you. And Kay, I'm sorry, Kay, I don't mean to get you so wrought. Forcing an agenda on people, I thought that was something us far-left radical BLM and Antifa, transgender, Nazi, fascist, communist, anti-American terrorists did. And Jerry Springer, White House edition, this was never supposed to be a thing. Then as to the biblical standards of the homeschool mom down in Texas, what a cute way of saying only certain people's points of view are allowed in the schools. I can't believe this is America in 2023. Make this shit stop! And some civilized society, because civilized, Kay says, societies attack each other for trying to better the lives of everyone. Makes sense. Lord, yes. Yes. I guess. Randy Radar pointing out Ten Commandments, like not putting up a graven image of Jesus up on your altar like many churches do. Well, that's one of them. It certainly is. A little bit of breaking news. I don't have the details. But in the ongoing Dominion defamation case, the judge hearing the case has officially ruled that Rupert Murdoch and other Fox Corp executives can be compelled to testify in the Dominion defamation trial, and also possible in-person witnesses will be testicle-toasting man of masculinity, Tuckio Rose Carlson, as well as that life support system for a haircut, the Hannity job. Good. Good. And let's see, I feel lobstered for an hour now. So, a reminder, we got $510 to raise, and there's a $25 On Wisconsin challenge, courtesy of Cat in Ohio. Cat will double the first $25 that come in. Thank you, Cat. Thank you so much. And that'll get us down to $460 if someone's got $25. Or someone's have an aggregate total of $25. Oh, and another outbreak of freedom. This one without, well, nobody, mercifully, nobody was harmed in the shooting in Tennistan at the publisher of the home of the publisher of the Tennessee Holler. Can't say the same for something that happened over in Old Virginia. WUSA Channel 9 CBS Action Team News Live Action Eyewitness Coverage had the story. It involves a 21-year-old boy named Tanner Cook, who apparently has a YouTube channel in which he pranks people. Pro tip. The way this country is right now, maybe having a prank channel on YouTube is not your best monetizing platform. I don't know. Maybe he's figured that out now, and I'm not making light of what happened. He was recording a prank video inside Dulles Town Center outside D.C. And I guess the person he was pranking with his video was 31-year-old Alan Colley, who, not enjoying being pranked, pulled out his Freedom Protector and shot 21-year-old Tanner Cook in the guts. As of the last report I saw on this, 21-year-old Tanner Cook is in critical condition, having been through surgery to repair damage done to his stomach and his liver by 31-year-old Alan Colley. Lawful gun owner, by the way. Well, he was until he pulled the trigger. Then he just became an awful gun owner. Because I'm guessing that even under the statutes of the Old Dominion, well, it's probably not okay. There's no affirmative defense of self-defense against pranking or prank videoing. Alan Colley, age 31, awful gun owner, is from Leesburg, Virginia. He's now facing charges of aggravated malicious wounding, use of a firearm in the commission of a felony, and discharging a firearm within a building. The two men got into a fight as a result of the pranking video in the food court at the Dulles Town Center. And the folks at Team Action News Eyewitness Wall to Wall News and Weather and Traffic on the Fives, WUSA Channel 9 CBS, they went straightway to young Mr. Cook's hospital bed, and he gave them an exclusive interview. He's a content creator for a YouTube page called Classified Goons. Tanner Cook said,
"I was playing a prank and a simple practical joke, and this guy didn't take it very well."
His buddy, Tanner Cook's buddy, was doing the recording when Colley shot him. Tanner Cook's daddy said,
They were making a video of the ball and trying to have fun with people, and this guy wasn't having fun. There was a phone that was around him, and they were interviewing or talking to him, and he didn't like it, and he pulled out his gun and shot my son.
Jeremy Cook is Dad's name.
He said, we need restoration, we need healing, and we need to come together. I pray for this young man and pray that he finds God in this. I believe that God saved our son's life.
I'm guessing it was the surgeons.
And he could have easily died, but that's not the outcome. God has plans for my son.
Well, did God plan for your son to be making prank videos for a YouTube page called Classified Goons? Was that God's plan, Mr. Cook? Team Action News eyewitness wall-to-wall coverage. Traffic and weather on the 5's Channel 9 CBS also got hold of Cook's granddaddy, who said,
it's surreal. It's obviously been unnerving and some fear running in and out, but we live on faith and not fear.
The chairwoman of the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors is Phyllis Randall. She's been fielding calls all week long. She said, I've heard from so many of my constituents, and they're traumatized. The victims are more than just people directly involved. People have secondary trauma from this, and they never walk back into this mall again. Oh, the capitalist horror! Yeah, meanwhile, Collie's been booked and arraigned, and he's got a public defender. And Tanner Cook says he's not going to quit creating prank videos because freedom. Guess. Oh, and a little follow-up to the Michelangelo story out of Florida. What was the name? The classical school, the classical academy, whatever it was. Well, Hillsdale College. Which is in Florida. I thought it was in Michigan. I was wrong. Hillsdale College has cut ties with the classical high school of wherever the hell it was in Florida after the great Michelangelo debacle. Tallahassee Classical Academy. And Hillsdale College is, of course, a right-wing swamp. But Hillsdale College revoked the license of the school to use its curricular materials anymore, saying that Tallahassee Classical Academy had created a distraction over the wider educational goals of Hillsdale College's classical curriculum. In other words, Tallahassee Classical Academy was harming the brand. Good God. And because, you know, we can engage in some shameless gossip. T- 2 weeks ago, Rupert Murdoch announced his engagement to a 66-year-old former dental hygienist. Rupert is 92. Evil is a preservative. I'm still amazed that he hasn't just hired Hank the K to anchor one of his programs. I don't know. Rupert got divorced from his fourth wife, Jerry Hall, last year, and like I said, 2 weeks ago, announced his pending nuptials to a 66-year-old cradle robber. And now, apparently, Leslie Smith, the former dental hygienist, who became a conservative radio host, because don't they all? Ann Leslie Smith has decided she doesn't want to marry Rupee after all. Rupee was getting uncomfortable with Ann Leslie Smith's evangelical spewing. She's an evangelical, but well, she was photographed in at a Barbados vacation. No shaming with Rupee. Helping him out of the ocean. No comment. Back when he got engaged, Rupee said, "I was very nervous. I dreaded falling in love, but I knew this would be my last. It better be. I'm happy." And then he gave Ann Leslie Smith an 11-carat diamond engagement ring valued somewhere around $2.5 million. Ladies, question. Even if someone you liked gave you a 2.5-carat diamond, would you ever wear it? I confess, I did something. It's nothing big, nothing earth-shattering. But I tried on. Because a girl to whom I was once affianced explained to me once that something happens when you put on a diamond. In her case, she would almost hive out. I saw it happen. And I did. I tried on like a 1-carat just to see what it looked like. And it was like, I didn't hive, but breath got a little short. And it was because I realized I would never feel comfortable wearing something like that. Because I would be afraid that I would lose it. Or knock it loose, knock the rock loose from the setting. An 11-carat diamond? But now, apparently, Ann Leslie Smith has wised up and, well, the blissful event is off. She's an interesting character, Ann Leslie Smith. It says former dental hygienist, but the fact of the matter is she is a descendant she married John B. Huntington, a descendant of Collis P. Huntington, for whom Huntington Beach, California, and Huntington, West Virginia are named. They told Collis P. Huntington that he could not build, it was impossible to build a railroad through Appalachia to access the vast coal reserves, and he turned around and built one. It was the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad, eventually becoming CSX. And at one point, she gave an interview to the Christian Broadcasting Network, of course. She said that when she was married to John B. Huntington, she spent $65,000 a month on clothes. Money was not an object. I had everything in the world. But then they got a divorce because John B. Huntington became an abusive alcoholic. She became suicidal, but then she found Jesus in a coffee shop. He gets around. It's prayer meeting Wednesday. And after she found Jesus in a coffee shop, I guess she followed Jesus over the Golden Gate Bridge and became a street preacher in Marin County, California. Then when she was done street preaching, she married a country music artist and a broadcast entrepreneur by the name of Chester Smith. Then he died. Then she had to fight a nasty court battle with his kids over his multi-million dollar estate. Kind of bummed out they're not getting married. They seem made for each other. Well, Steve, that's true. Your observation is true. 11-carat diamond. When one can afford to buy it, one can afford to lose it. Flavio notes, that's true. Flavio notes, Rupert Murdoch, somebody commented, don't worry, Rupert, I hear popsicle sticks work, just don't go too fast. You know, splinters. Yeah, she probably made his withered old member jump like a snake in a microwave. Oh, I hate myself now. Sorry. Bernadette said, that ring, if I received an 11-carat diamond ring, I would surely wear it. I would know that my hand, nor the rest of me, didn't have anything else it needed to do, like chores, besides show off that ring. Yeah. I don't think I ever have to worry about anybody giving me a diamond ring. Ralph says, maybe Rupee's Dominion lawsuit was making him toxic. How could you tell? Oh, there you go, Ralph. Making? Okay, I was right. Hillsdale is in Michigan. Steve in New York said, I had a teacher from high school who attended there. Honestly, she's one of my best friends and decidedly not a right-winger, is quite the existentialist. They must have let one slip past. And by the way, Ralph says, ew, Flavio, ew. I know. That's not the only vacuous gossip story. Well, it's not really gossip, but there's a thing going around the internet today. Oh, by the way, almost to the halfway point of the program, please, if you're listening to the podcast, especially if you're new to it, whatever podcast platform you're listening on, please like and subscribe. And leave us a comment. Even one word. You pick it. But the algorithm notices comments, good, bad, indifferent, and helps us, all of us, I mean the community, make the program more visible, more findable. And also, if you're listening on TuneIn, as many members of the Horn Family Community Congregation do, then please click that red heart button on the Horn Player on TuneIn. We're trying to get 1,000 listeners via TuneIn. We're just a little community. But what a wonderful community we are. So yesterday, when Nitwit Nero was sitting there between his lawyers looking like a guy who felt a fart coming on and wound up gambling and losing, well, some people couldn't help but zoom in on that picture of him. And it turns out that this billionaire, so much money I have, believe me, it's incredible. Unbelievable. He wore a dirty suit to court. Now, you know, it would be understandable if, say, for instance, you know, he was having his luncheon taco bowl and got a great dollop of sour cream and salsa down the front of his suit jacket or on his shirt or his tie. I mean, it happens. Shit! And, you know, he reached in.
Does anybody got any club soda? I hear club soda works on this.
No, that wasn't the case. He went to court wearing a suit jacket with a filthy collar. I mean, it's not like bodily function gross, but it's like old dude falling apart at the seams gross. One guy on Twitter said, "Oh my God, I think I can smell the picture." And you know it's a mixture of like some sort of hair pomade and hair spray and sebaceous oils and hair, you know, from his greasy comb over hair. But it's also shabby. And it puts the lie to his claims of classiness and makes him much more of the tacky nouveau riche gut bucket that Manhattanites have long known he was. And is. Somebody responded on Twitter saying, another top tip, don't apply gallons of cheap oil-based makeup that will run into your clothes. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Whatever foundation he uses, America doesn't need to know that. Or does need to know so that we won't buy it. I'm guessing it's not Estee Lauder. Then there was another individual who pointed out, you know, letting you go to court to be arraigned on an indictment in a coat with collar stains screams, "Nobody loves me." People had a lot of fun with that photo. Another tip that always works super well for me is to simply not paint my entire body orange and yellow every morning. The only way to get rid of this particular stain is to send it to prison for a long, long time. By the way, if he were to be convicted, please, sweet fake baby Jeebus, let it be. So, if he were to be convicted on all the counts and sentenced consecutively to the max on all of them, he'd be looking at 134 years or something like that. What a sleaze bag. Then there's what happened in North Carolina, Stan. By the way, lines are open. Remember, we're using a new Skype address. I found another instance of Bob and got rid of that earlier today. So hopefully Bob is mostly gone from the White Rose Society page. Mostly. But if you want to reach the program on Skype, it is Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid, K-I-N-C-A-I-D, H-O-R-N. Kincaid Horn is one word. Robin Kincaid Horn. And jump right in. It'd be great to, this is conversation radio, not filler Robster radio, contrary to how it appears right now. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs just jumped in and got us started on the On Wisconsin Challenge, courtesy of Cat in Ohio. Change, Cat says, is a-coming. Thank you, Cat, and thank you. Thank you, Ralphs. $15 to go on that, and that'll get us down to $460. I just listened on HeadOn.live, Flavio says. Is that a platform? Well, I mean, I'm talking mainly about the podcast, not when you're listening live. Yeah, Podbean, Pod Republic, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, Brother Deacon Asa has done his dead level best to make the podcast available pretty much across the board. Listening live, I don't know if there's anywhere to like and or subscribe. I don't know. I don't know, Flavio. What's that, Jeremy? That was close, Jeremy says. And here I thought you'd found a solution to the naked radio wireless mic problem for the front porch. I mean, when you're a suspiciously large woman, confessing you've done something does create speculation. No, that was not the thing I did. I actually tried on a diamond just to see what it would feel like. Actually, more than a ring, I'd like to have a couple of just little diamond solitaire earrings. I think, you know, with the screw backs so they stay there. I'd like that a lot. But that's, I'd like that, not I'm ever going to have that. Thank you, Appalachian Power. Yeah. That's good. Jeremy says the Trump door issue, a meme. My favorite moment of arrestmas was when the cop let go of the door and let it fully smack into Bunker Boy.
Yeah, you police, don't be so nice, don't be so gentle.
Oh, and then Trump's Foundation, Steve in New York, says, it's Willy Wonka's brand known as Orange Oompa Loompa. And to be, maybe it's not Foundation. Maybe that's just the color he turns under his tanning bed. Oh, and by the way, in regard to Rupee's fiance coming to her senses, Stephen New York says, in the words of Gomer Pyle, surprise, surprise, surprise. Never a bad time for a Gomer Pyle reference. And now to North Carolina, Stan, where State Representative Tricia Cotham has assured herself she has pre-booked a room in the ninth circle of hell. Remember, the ninth circle of hell in Dante, in the Inferno, is reserved for the betrayers. Tricia Cotham was elected to the North Carolina legislature in a heavily Democratic district as a Democrat. Hers was a critical seat because the North Carolina legislature was one vote away from having a full-on maggot supermajority. And now Tricia Cotham, who represented herself as a Democrat to her constituency and won handily, well, she offered an excuse for her betrayal of her constituents, but the bottom line is the check probably cleared. She is now a Republican, and Republicans now have a veto-proof supermajority in the North Carolina legislature. So even if Roy Cooper vetoes something, this legislature can override it. She gave a press conference today. She said Roy Cooper tells you what to do, and the Democratic Party will bully those who don't do what the party wants. In particular, Tricia Cotham is all but hurt because she said some people were mean to her. Let's see. Yeah.
Good morning, and thank you for being here. I am Tricia Cotham.
Judas.
I am a single mom of two amazing sons, a teacher, a small business owner,
a betrayer,
a woman with strong faith, a national championship basketball coach, and a public servant. Today, I add Republican to that list.
Backstabber.
I have decided to change my party affiliation, joining the Republican Party, and have been welcomed with open arms
and an open checkbook
by my colleagues, and I'm glad to call you all my colleagues. As long as I have been a Democrat, the Democrats have tried to be a big tent. But this now where we are, modern-day Democratic Party, has become unrecognizable to me and to so many others throughout this state and this country. The party wants to villainize anyone who has free thought, free judgment, has solutions, who wants to get to work to better our state, not just...
Solutions? Maybe some... I mean, you're talking about the Republican Party there, sugar. Maybe some final solutions? Yeah? More on that in a minute.
To sit in a meeting and have a workshop after a workshop, but really work with individuals to get things done, because that's what real public servants do. If you don't do exactly what the Democrats want you to do, they will try to bully you. They will try to cast you aside. I saw that when I first filed for office and was told, why didn't you ask for our permission?
Either direct quotes or it didn't happen, hon.
I didn't think I needed to do that as a female. And quite frankly, I was offended. But when I came back to this legislature, I knew times were different and things had changed. I also knew that I was different. I had been through a lot in life, and so I am just different too.
How?
I'm proud of that. It became very clear to me early on in January that you better vote in line with everything Governor Cooper tells you to do, from signing on to bills, to he wanted to pick your seat on the House floor, to your committee request, all of this sense of control.
I mean, darling, that's why he's governor and you're not. The governor has certain powers. They're different from state to state, but apparently Tricia didn't know that.
Will not be controlled by anyone.
It's funny, watching the video, and you're just going to have to trust me unless you go and find this yourself. She's got a kind of sick, half-nauseated, kind of constipated look on her face. Yeah, she's speaking softly because, well, as a Republican woman now, she's going to, she didn't like being told to ask permission earlier. She's going to be asking for a lot. Hell, she'll have to ask the Republican Party for permission to control the workings of her own body. Because Republicans.
I have always been a free thinker, a woman of faith, a person of independent judgment, and of common sense. I have always tried
that's out the window now.
The aisle from day one. And I'm proud of that work, because that means we are working together as statesmen and stateswomen. Unfortunately, that is talk in the Democratic Party that's a good thing, but there is little action when it comes to that.
How do you reach across the aisle to a pack of snarling, rabid junkyard dogs? The My Way or the Highway Party is the Republican Party. And God help her if she ever crosses them. They will make her life a living hell, and of course, she will have earned that. That's about as much of her babble, her traitorous backstabbing babble as I can stand. Scary Jerry says, regarding North Carolina Dem turncoat, I don't know if it's the podcast or data package, but I hear Christian Enema theme music.
Okay.
You earned that one. In the end, though, what she said made her decision for her was because people criticized her for using the American flag and the praying hands emoji on social media and on her vehicles. That's it? You're such a snowflake, you can't stand criticism when you engage in the same sort of phony baloney patriotism that maggots engage in? The Democrats have been blasting me on Twitter to call me names, coming after my family, coming after my children. That's wrong. And a woman cussed her out at a store while she was shopping with her son. Honey, nobody made you run for office, and that's, well, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the sauna. Of course, I don't believe her. That's what butthurt Republicans always say. They came after my children. You know who's going after children? The party you just joined, girlfriend. The party you just joined are going after children, helpless children, marginalized children, innocent children all over this country. Whether it's cutting food stamps, EBT. Or taking away necessary medical care. Or refusing to provide health insurance for the parents who love and take care of those children. By refusing the Medicaid expansion. The Republican Party is the party of attacking children. The Republican Party is the party that will not lift a finger to do a goddamn thing about guns so that our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, go to school terrified, have to go through active shooter drills, and will go through the rest of their lives carrying an unforgettable level of trauma. The House Minority Leader, Robert Reeves, said she should have resigned from her office, should have resigned from her seat, because she campaigned, she promised the voters in her district that she would pursue a Democratic policy agenda. In his statement, Reeves said, now, just a few months later, Representative Cotham is changing parties. That's not the person that was presented to the voters of House District 112. Those constituents deserve to know what values were most important to their elected representative. Yeah, apparently it was flag and praying hands emojis. Tots and pears, Trish. Yeah, Randy Radar says, take a back seat, sister. Emilio. The Democrat Party wants to villainize anyone who has a swastika tattoo on their forehead. And Ralph says, I hope she gets defeated in the next election. I do too. Stephen, New York, the North Carolina weirdo. There is one reason the GOP paid her off. They see the writing on the wall. Election 2024 is not going to be good for the GOP. She's from a plus 21 Democratic district. They see the window of opportunity to wreak havoc closing and want to wreak as much as possible in the next 18 months. You're probably correct, Steve. And by the way, thank you to Jude over at Women Standing. Thank you, Jude. Jude has finished off Cat in Ohio's On Wisconsin Change is a Coming challenge. So we are now down to $460 to go. Just think, $160 and we'd be done with yesterday's funding. Fantastic. Wonderful. Steve says, yeah, George Santos, North Carolina style. Yeah, there's a barbecue joint in there, barbecue joint joke somewhere in there. I just haven't quite identified it. Hey, y'all, I have got to run into the house for a moment. I just got a text message. No big deal. Be right back. Stand by. Okie doke, sorry about that. Anyway, on our way to the second hour of the program, and so this is a two-hour filler roster so far. If you'd like to get involved in the program, again, remember, the new Skype number is, or the Skype account is Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn, one word, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. And feel free to jump in or friend me over there, get in the contacts list, that kind of thing. That'd be great. And hopefully people aren't trying to reach the program by calling the old Skype number. If that is, that could be a problem, couldn't it? Anyway, let's leave North Carolina and take on something of a more national flavor. Military.com is reporting, and file this under, and who's surprised? Slowly but surely, people are coming around to the realization of something that we have known here at the Horn for years and years and years. And that is, in fact, that this country has a serious Nazi problem. So military.com interviewed experts and found out that Nazis are actively recruiting members of the United States military to attack marginalized groups. The report notes that the U.S. intelligence community said that racially or ethnically motivated violent extremism is the single most deadly threat that faces Americans today. The report said new extremist organizations such as Adam Waffen, the Boogaloo Movement, remember the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff, and The Base, which is also Nazi, well, they've renewed their efforts in the footsteps of 80s and 90s style Nazi organizing. They seek a violent overthrow of the government or a civil war so they can recreate society, usually into a white supremacist or fascist state. And, you know, it's worth remembering that, as I have pointed out frequently, the governor of Florida, Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, in his first campaign for governor in the general election, won by a tiny percentage of a percent in his campaign against Andrew Gillum. And in that campaign, Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, was assisted by a Nazi group that placed robocalls all over the state of Florida. He literally owes his first governorship, his first term as governor, to Nazis. The report goes on and says, the accelerationist groups, the term denotes that they wish to bring about that civil war swiftly, have sprung up in the aftermath of the Unite the Right extremist group gathering and protest in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017. The event was the largest gathering of white supremacists in recent memory, and many of the torch-bearing participants were young white men. Military.com says that after Charlottesville, that Nazism in America went through a hard reset. And hard reset is actually the title of a manifesto that went out broadly over the Russian-owned messaging service Telegram And the hard reset actually includes a manual for tactics, techniques, and procedures for how to bring about societal collapse, including attacks on infrastructure. I guess we didn't leave North Carolina stand after all, did we? Remember Moore County, North Carolina, where 40,000 people were without power because Nazis attacked a substation? Rick Eaton is a senior researcher. He's been with the Simon Wiesenthal Center for 37 years. He's an expert on right-wing extremism, and he said, "It's definitely more disturbing than it's ever been, and the willingness to commit violence combined with the general levels of, you know, violent shootings and things in this country are not helping." Again, you can see the report at military.com. The title is, "The Threat from Extremist Groups is Growing. Service Members and Vets are Getting Sucked into the Violence." The question, I think one of the central questions is why the military allows this grooming to take place. The military.com report notes Brandon Russell, who in May 2020 was sitting in a jail cell. He'd been a member of the National Guard. He was doing 5 years. This is the guy who wanted to bomb places and got ratted out by his roomie. Brandon Russell said, "Nothing shall deter us from our duty in this eternal struggle, not death nor prison. We are always comforted by the thought of knowing we did the right thing in fighting this wretched system." When he was taken down, he had a cooler full of something called HMTD. Terrorists make that explosive out of things that are easily available, like camp stove fuel, hair bleach, and over-the-counter nutritional supplements. This particular Nazi, Brandon Russell, had a framed picture on his dresser of Timothy McVeigh. McVeigh had been a veteran, too. One hopes that this is being taken more seriously than it appears to be if one pays attention to the for-profit media. This is, I hope we're going to be okay, but we will not be until we root out fascism. Again, some more. Oh, and by the way, did anybody tune in and catch Nitwit Nero's grumblings and babblings yesterday evening? Because, well, bad hostess, bad, but I didn't. Instead, Annette and I watched the season finale of Quantum Leap. Hell of a season finale. And the latest installment of Ted Lasso. So good. Just so good. And this just boggles the mind. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Thanks, Ralph. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has declared that he's going to run for president. At one point in time, he might have had a chance. Not anymore. Not since he went full anti-vax. Is he going to run as a Democrat? Can't imagine. Bobby. Get back to Nitwit Nero for a moment. Michael Cohen burned him. He said Nitwit Nero's lack of support in New York looked like a bake sale for a high school football team. But then, following his arrangement on his indictment, Tangerine Tiberius got on a group phone call with Intercessors for America. I guess that's affiliated with the grifter Paula White. Get the hockey puck. No, don't.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are in this wonderful country of ours.
That's Jennifer Korn, National Faith Advisory Board.
Jenny Korn, advisor of the National Faith Advisory Board. Thank you so much for joining this national faith call, this emergency call to pray. To pray for justice, to pray.
Now, this thing is 31 minutes and 28 seconds long, and I guarantee you they're not going to be asking people to just pray. Oh, hell no. There's going to be, well, the deacons are going to be circulating the virtual plates. Sean Fucked was there. The guy who did everything he could to spread the pandemic. Paula White said, "We're so grateful for your heart, for your fight, for your stamina." Did she even watch? Well, we know you stand at the front on behalf of all of us, and as we offer up these prayers for you and your family, we secure your life, your purpose, your calling. We pray just supernatural wisdom over you and strength to you. And maybe God will even grow you some extra toes. Sorry, I can't. Yeah. Toes. Yeah, exactly, Randy Radar. God needs money again. Well, Paula and Jenny and Sean and... Yeah.
Nitwit Nero said, "I'm having a great day today, actually, because it turned out to be a sham. We've had a long time friendship, and we've prayed together, and we've loved our families together. We've just loved, and we're fighting for many things together. We're being discriminated against as a religion." Where? "We're being discriminated against as a faith, and we can't let that continue. But one thing I've always remained solid on, that is our faith, our religion, our Christianity, our beautiful Christianity. 2 Corinthians. And one of the things I think, and I really believe this, and perhaps the main thing that our country needs again, is religion. We have to have religion. We're losing our religion in our country.
It's true that more non-believers are showing up in things like the Pew National Survey of Religion. But that has to do with... Well, it's why the He Gets Us campaign is out there. Trying to save the brand from all the hucksters who have trashed it. And I don't know if... I caught my filthy morning habit today. But they were having a hell of a good time. With Lindsey Graham this morning. Comparing him to Jim Baker. That was fun. And the stress line is open too, of course, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. There it is. It was pretty. They leaned in. The Morning Zoo crew over at MSNBC did on Lindsay. Oh, there's an answer to my question. Thank you, Ralph, serving as the Horn ad hoc Bobby Kennedy Jr. anti-vax presidential campaign correspondent. Oh, CNN. Environmental lawyer and anti-vaccine activist. Yeah. Just leave off the environmental lawyer. I don't know of any environmental movements that want anything to do with him. He's filed paperwork with the Federal Election Commission to run for president in 2024 as a Democrat. Well, there's precedent. Back in 1980, his uncle, Ted, primaried Jimmy Carter. It's part of how we got Reagan. Last month, Bobby said, if it looks like I can raise the money and mobilize enough people to win, I'll jump in the race. Hard pass. Seriously, what kind of poor judgment does he have to think that there's space in the... Probably a grift. Anyway, back to my filthy morning habit. I just enjoyed the hell out of this morning.
seeks a congressional investigation. In the wake of Donald Trump's indictment after yesterday's arraignment, McCarthy tweeted in part, quote, Alvin Bragg is attempting to interfere in our democratic process. Bragg's weaponization of the federal justice process will be held accountable by Congress. Meanwhile, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham seemed to be fighting back tears.
He's not doing well, is he?
Again, like he's always crying.
He's always crying.
Take a look.
I'm sorry I'm so upset, but please help President Trump. If you can afford $5 or $10, if you can't afford a dollar, fine. Just pray. Make sure you vote as early as you can in your state. Don't risk anything anymore. Vote as soon as you can. Pray for this country. Pray for this president. And if you got any money to give, give it. LindseyGraham.com. It doesn't go to me. It goes to helping this president and taking back the Senate.
Save the world.
My God.
Give to JoeScarborough.com.
Pathetic.
Right now, all over the world, people are suffering. Give. Listen, he's even looking. Michael Steele. He's even looking more like a 1980s televangelist. We got a little bit of Oral Roberts there. Give me the $8 million.
Tammy Faye crying with the mascara.
Up in the tower or else Jesus is going to take me home. You got some of that Jimmy Swaggart, I have sinned, crying going on there. Like, he looks a lot like, let's put it back up. He's slowly morphing into, like, Jim Baker. I don't know who Tammy Faye is, but we're looking. But he's looking more and more like Jim Baker and talking
and the hair's
more
got
more
a little
like
bit of Trump going.
Yeah. I mean, he's
Trump's different now.
There's just some PTL. This guy is going full PTL. But Michael, I don't want to be distracted by the shiny televangelist in front of me. Let's talk about Kevin McCarthy. You ran this party, by the way, one of the most successful RNC chairmen in history. I think probably the most if you just look at your results. But you look at this party and you got there's a House Speaker right now. I mean, these are the same people that ignored federal subpoenas.
Oh. Yeah.
They ignored subpoenas from Congress itself. And now they're talking about conducting their own investigations of an independent elected district attorney outside of their jurisdiction. Man, it's crazy town there, isn't it?
It is the weaponization of government. Folks, understand everything coming out of their mouths around weaponization and all this other stuff is projection. It is projection.
Yes.
It is what we know they would do because they're doing it. And the reality of it is, when you don't have anything else, that's your go-to. You're so beholden. You just showed televangelist Lindsey, you know, hawking for Donald Trump. Don't give it to me. Just pray. Just send us some money and pray and send us more money and pray. It is so ridiculous, so embarrassing. So embarrassing that this is what the leadership of the Republican Party has become. Some two-bit televangelist hawking for Donald Trump. I mean, and not even good. Not even good hawking.
Connected with reality.
They're not even good. We need to have that GoFundMe page for bad acting Republicans. And we get Sarah McLachlan sing an angel, and then we'll just show pictures of them in slow motion and say, you can donate now and you can save these Republicans for horrifically bad acting things. It's just horrible.
We need the Senate tenors to come back and sing, Joe. Remember the singing senators?
Yes.
The singing,
they got the convict choir, so maybe they get the singing senators. But, you know, the funny thing is, Lindsey, you notice, he goes, help Donald Trump.
My God.
And you can do it by sending it to LindseyGraham.com. I mean, this is like all those people that were donating for Herschel, and for every $100, they give Herschel like 75 cents. Like, it's all a scam.
It was fun. Like I said, it's just such a joy to see a sinner come home. Kill the fatted calf. The prodigal has returned. And I mean, that was just a 4-minute clip. They hammered him. Give me $8 million or Jesus will kill me. Jesus will murder me. Yeah. You're right. Bernadette says, we need to vote. The only way I see this country changing and we get these fucking we're not going to do anything Republicans out of office is to vote them out. Most of us listening are already active voters, but we do more in recruiting those in our society, the third of Americans who don't vote, to vote. There really are more of us than them, and it would greatly make a difference in our politics. Their goal is to suppress the vote as much as possible so they stay in power. We can stop them. Help someone get registered to vote. Take some to vote. It's our voice, and it's the only weapon we got. Vote in every election, especially on local issues that affect us most. And, yes, I watched that miserable, dried-up orange spew who is paying minions yesterday. He looked a little miffed. I was giddy as fuck and just smiled. Well, thanks for taking one for the team, Bernadette. And you're right. It's all about getting out the vote. It's always all about getting out the vote. And as much as I hate to say it, we need to do a much better job getting out the vote in the maggot states. Because they can be saved. I mean, we had the miracle of Doug Jones back a few years ago in Alabama. It could be done. The gerrymandering, the voter suppression, soft and hard, is a hurdle. But again, we go to the moon not because it is easy, but because it is hard. Right? Okay. Steve in New York says, Scarborough really needs a cowbell? Yeah, why not? I'm feeling generous. Hey, look, it's a Florida man story. Florida man. Well, Travis Jordan, 39-year-old Travis Jordan, stands charged with disturbing the peace this past Sunday. When he was arrested, he had bloodshot eyes and smelled of alcohol. He brought a machete with him to karaoke night at some bar in Florida, Brevard County. And when he didn't get to sing the song he wanted, he pulled out the machete that he had brought to karaoke night and menaced the DJ. Someone who was there eventually convinced Travis Jordan, age 39, to give up his machete before she called police. The cops mocked him, saying, there's no question that Elvis Presley's Jailhouse Rock is a top karaoke song, but for Travis Jordan, it's the only song he'll be singing while sitting in Ivy's Iron Bar Lodge. While karaoke is a fun time for everyone, even those that can't sing, when your turn's done, you can't whip out a machete in order to get one more song. Apparently our friend Mr. Jordan here didn't fully understand the rules of karaoke, as when the stage lights turned off, he tried to force them back on by pulling out a machete he had concealed on him and demanding to do an encore. He was still in custody as of this morning. Dumbass! But again, Florida man. And I'm just grateful he didn't menace the DJ with the alligator he had under his arm. Never going to forget that story of the guy robbing the liquor store with an alligator. Sheriff Department's posting, it's not that I don't have a sense of humor, but, well, I don't, that doesn't make the cops more friendly. But going back to my filthy morning habit and the business of asking God for, well, you know. The governor of Arkansas, and I can't, Arkanstan, I can't believe, Jethreen Bodine, the gimlet-eyed governor, baleful gimlet eye, the eye. Sarah Hasselbalch sandbags. Yesterday, she said that she was going hat in hand to FEMA to cover all of the cleanup costs from the tornadoes that ripped through Arkansas. Nearly 36 people died in that in those storms. It was a horror. And there's none of us who want for compassion for the people affected by it. But Sarah Hasselbalch sandbags is, of course, a raging hypocrite. And she said, and a liar. Don't forget, she's a liar. She's a serial liar. She said, I've been all across our state since Friday, surveying damage, meeting with survivors, and discussing recovery efforts with local leaders, emergency personnel, and volunteers. It's clear that the cost to clean up the damage these storms created will be substantial. The federal government is currently covering 75% of all costs incurred during our recovery process, but that arrangement must go further to help Arkansans in need. Today, I'm asking the federal government to cover 100% of all our recovery expenses during the first 30 days after the storm. This is the same Sarah Hasselbalch sandbags who has declared that the people of Arkansas have the right to be free of socialism and tyranny. Back in January, she took to Twitter and said, as long as I'm your governor, the meddling hand of big government creeping down from Washington, D.C. will be stopped cold at the Mississippi River. Well, the meddling hand of the federal government maybe ought not have anything to do with Sarah Hasselbalch sandbags. At least make her say, Mother, may I? Boy, she sure wants her some socialism now, doesn't she? Ask God. Pray louder, Christian. Your God can't hear you. Ask God for the money, Sarah. He sent the tornado. Ooh, and then this. Can't she get the children to work on rescue teams for free? Sorry, Sarah, that money stops cold at the Mississippi River. Yeah, what if have the Arkansas legislature call them into a special session and let them put a special tax assessment on Tyson chickens, Tyson Corporation, or how about those poor waifs in Bentonville that run the massive Walmart empire. How about putting the bite on them? That might be fun. Oh, hypocrisy, thy name is Jethreen. You know, I don't know how it is that maybe it's because she was more prominent in the news. But it's easier to remember Stormy Daniels than it is to remember Karen McDougal. See, Stormy only got $130,000 from Nitwit Nero. Karen McDougal got $150,000. Maybe because she looks a little like melanoma. She had a 10-month-long affair with Nitwit Nero, and by all accounts, apparently fell for him a little bit. You know. So, this morning, she posted on social media, "I've been out and about enjoying God's country. I hope I didn't miss anything." Smiling. God's country, can't tell exactly where she is, but there's some snow on some hills behind her. And some pine trees. Cute boots, girl. Pretty sunset. I wonder if she still votes Republican. Over in the Nebraska legislature, a Republican senator has called it quits there. Remember, unicameral legislature. Senator Suzanne Geist of Lincoln bailed out today, said that she's all in on her May 2nd general election race to remove Mayor Lirion Gaylor Baird from his mayor's position in Lincoln. She finished second to Baird in the three-way primary on Tuesday. Baird got 49% of the vote. Geist got 34%. And some dude named Stan Parker got 17%. This is one of the horrors who has not had much fun this legislative session, thanks to the bold, brave, and inspiring actions of a Lincoln Democrat in putting the brakes on the entire legislature to keep them from hurting children, because they want to hurt children. So that's one less vote. I'm going all in on this race, spending full time running for mayor of Lincoln. We have only 4 more weeks to go. We're going to take this city. We're going to make Lincoln a better, safer, more affordable city for everyone. Meanwhile, Senator Michaela Kavanaugh and a few others are having their way in the Nebraska legislature. And being down one Republican makes it a little harder for Republicans to enact the cruelty that is their raison d'etre. God, I hope she loses. Nitwit Nero, meanwhile, found time today to mock that revolting misanthrope who lost the election in Wisconsin yesterday.
Daniel Kelly of Wisconsin just lost his Supreme Court election. He bragged that he won't seek Trump's endorsement, so I didn't give it, which guaranteed his loss. How foolish is a man that doesn't seek an endorsement that would have won him the election?
He got bumped. And as I noted at the beginning of the program, he is a dick. Here's a piece of his speech yesterday evening that has earned him the disdain of millions.
And it brings me no joy to say this. I wish that in a circumstance like this, I would be able to concede to a worthy opponent. But I do not have a worthy opponent to which I can concede. And it brings me no joy.
He went on to call her a liar. Gee, Dan, I hope it didn't hurt too little. And again, remember, Dan Kelly followed the maggot playbook and ran on hate. And just like it did in Michigan and other states, it bit him in the ass. But they won't learn. Over in Ohio, though, a man named Amen, no really, prayer meeting, A-I-M-E-N-N, D. Penny, Amen D. Penny, a 20-year-old from Alliance, Ohio, is in custody. The Department of Justice issued a news release saying that he is facing 30 years in prison if he's convicted on all the charges, namely malicious use of explosive materials and possession of a destructive device in which he attacked the Community Church of Chesterland with a Molotov cocktail. The Community Church of Chesterland is an open church, a loving church, an unbigoted church. And among other things, they had planned this church in Ohio, drag events. Drag events. And so Amen D. Penny was willing to commit murder and arson and terrorism over it. The church is brave. They're going to hold the event nonetheless. They're going to add extra security. The pastor there is Jess Peacock. Pastor Peacock said, I'm not going to lie. I've been dealing with consistent anxiety for the last 3 weeks. Not been sleeping very much. That said, we are unwavering in our commitment not only to put on these programs, but we're unwavering in our commitment to the LGBTQ plus within this community. In a news release, the first assistant U.S. attorney, Michelle Bepler, said violence and destruction are never an acceptable way to express a disagreement with a particular viewpoint. And then the mealy-mouthed language. While as Americans we enjoy the right to disagree, doing so peacefully is the only appropriate option. The United States Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Ohio remains committed to protecting the rights of all citizens to express their viewpoints peacefully. Bombings. Bombings. Church bombings. 1963 all over again. Hope he gets all 30 years. That'll put him out of prison sometime in his 40s. Oh, and by the way, in terms of reactions to Nitwit Nero's indictment, one of the exonerated members of the Central Park Five had a response. Nitwit Nero called for the execution of five innocent men and never, ever apologized, even after it was proven that they were innocent. Not just not guilty, innocent. So Yusuf Salam, who was wrongly convicted and imprisoned for a 1989 rape in which he had no role, said, "For those asking about my statement on the indictment of Donald Trump, who never said sorry for calling for my execution, here it is. Karma." Nitwit Nero, you may recall back then, spent the equivalent of $200,000 on a full-page ad in all four of New York's major newspapers that demanded the execution of those five innocent black men. Back then, he said, "Mayor Koch has stated that hate and rancor should be removed from our hearts. I do not think so. I want to hate these muggers and murderers. They should be forced to suffer. Yes, Mayor Koch, I want to hate these murderers, and I always will. How can our great society tolerate the continued brutalization of its citizens by crazed misfits?" He was not looking for... Misfit was not the word he had in mind. Remember, the cops beat the five. Antron McCray, Kevin Richardson, Raymond Santana, Corey Wise, and Yusuf Salam. They were beaten. And the NYPD coerced them into a false confession. Salam, at the age of 15, spent 6 years in prison, 6 years and 8 months before he was exonerated. In the past, Yusuf Salam has said, "I look at Donald Trump and I understand him as a representation of a symptom of America. We were convicted because of the color of our skin. People thought the worst of us, and this is all because of prominent New Yorkers, especially Donald Trump." Karma indeed. They were having some fun with the indictment over on ABC's The View.
But isn't it the same thing? He went to prison.
He went to prison for it, for assisting Trump in this. But what I don't think we should get too far ahead of ourselves, because the charges have been sealed, right? The indictment is sealed. So we're hearing it's 30 counts. 30 counts of what? I mean, 30 counts of misdemeanors? Are we talking about a felony? What are we talking about
here?
Michael
Cohen, it happened in a federal court, correct? The difference is this is a state versus...
And I think what's wonderful, in my opinion, as a former federal prosecutor, is that a president cannot pardon himself from state crimes.
Oh, is that so? Why, if it was a federal crime, he could pardon himself?
Yeah, and I think that he has a pocket pardon somewhere in some safe somewhere. I do. I believe that about him.
Listen, the first thing I want to do is I want to thank this special grand jury, because they have been meeting for weeks and weeks. They've done this incredibly seriously. This is not an easy case. This is a case that has risks. And so I thank them, because these are regular New Yorkers. These are not people with a political agenda. These are regular New Yorkers Donald Trump finally won a popular vote yesterday. The grand jury voted to indict him. You know, I was thinking last night, boy, because I was reading this article where Ivanka and Jared apparently want to start their new life in Miami, and I was thinking, you know, they now can give their children the distinction of having matching mugshots for their both of their grandfathers.
Yeah.
You can pick whether you want Charlie Kushner or Donald Trump mugshot if you are Jared and Ivanka's child. Look, I do think that for the longest time in this country, we... Donald Trump has gotten away with things because the Republicans allowed him. Because in the political indictment, that's an impeachment, Republicans allowed him to get away with it.
Yeah, that's
but in
right.
the justice system, like in so many other countries, I've heard many Republicans say that, you know, this is the destruction of democracy. No, it is the strengthening of democracy and the justice system
yes.
that we are holding everybody accountable. I agree with Sonny. We, you know, he is presumed innocent until proven guilty, which is more of a presumption than he was willing to give Hillary Clinton. Remember?
I heard a lot of lock her up chants.
Do you,
that? I hope she's enjoying this.
Well, I'll tell you who tweeted something yesterday, which is one of the former Central Park Five, now the exonerated five. Yusuf Abdul Salam.
Oh, Yusuf. Yeah.
For those asking about my statement on the indictment of Donald Trump, who never said sorry for calling for my execution, here it is. Karma.
I don't believe in karma.
I don't believe in anything.
I don't believe in karma. Karma never loses someone's address, ever. I think what goes around comes around.
The Schadenfreude was strong. With those ones. And the fact of the matter is, it was all morning long on my filthy morning habit today. And hi, Joe. Just, well, whatever.
But my question to you is, no one is saying Trump didn't do this. I mean, I don't even hear Trump saying that. So, again, the public politically desensitized to just how unseemly it might be for a president to pay off a porn star in order to influence the election or keep his wife from finding out about it. Who knows what his intent was? But could there be a possibility of a secondary indictment, or what are the potentials that could play out here if a crime indeed was committed?
Well, I mean, he is very much capable of talking himself into more trouble. I mean, we've seen this from the very beginning of his...
What did I say yesterday? His lawyers are shitting themselves at the mere prospect of putting their client on the stand, because they know that the minute they do, they're going to be suborning perjury, and they can pretty much fold their law licenses into paper airplanes and fly them out the window.
Presidential career, when he basically took an investigation about whether or not the Russians tried to interfere with the 2016 election, and made that investigation essentially all about him and his desire and attempts to obstruct that investigation. I mean, remember, there was a several hundred page report issued by special counsel Robert Mueller, and one half of it was devoted to Trump's efforts to derail the investigation. He is perfectly capable of committing crimes, felonies, to avoid nothing, which was probably what he had done before he started trying to obstruct the Mueller investigation. He's certainly he's willing to try to commit crimes to avoid being convicted of a misdemeanor. It's just that he doesn't know when to stop.
Yeah, and speaking of not knowing when to stop, John Heilman, I thought it was fascinating yesterday. Every Democrat, and again, people get mad at me, I'm good with it. Every Democrat I talk to, every lawyer, every DA, I was making calls throughout the afternoon. They're all disappointed by Bragg's, by the actual indictment itself. They were all disappointed by the charging papers. And what we're saying, so, boy, this is it. So, advantage Trump. Disadvantage, like DeSantis and the entire Republican field. If Donald Trump was sane, if he were rational, he would have said, I'm going to go to bed with the win. But as we all know, Donald Trump can't keep his mouth shut. He goes out, I will just say, he messes the bed in a stupendous way last night. He could have used that speech to say,
you know, he desperately wants to say he shit the bed. There, Joe, said it for you. Happy to help.
Yeah, you know what? They've treated me bad. They've done this, that, the other. Just like what happens to you when they treat you bad, doing A, B, C. The system's rigged again. Instead, it was all these personal grievances. He went all over the place, scattershot. And by the end of the speech, Ron DeSantis had to be feeling great, going, well, he's always going to be him. Because by the end, you're like, yeah, that guy will never be president again. He took this advantage that a lot of people thought he had and completely blew it with that crazy display last night at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, I don't know, Joe, whether he completely blew it in the sense that all of the things we heard last night from him have been things that we've heard before, and they're all things that have, for whatever, if you believe that Trump's power resides in his ability to continue to have the loyalty of that, of the MAGA base, and that that's a large enough chunk of the party to make him the front runner, the favorite, maybe ultimately the nominee of the party, I'm not sure he did anything to alienate any of those voters last night. I do think if you're someone running against Trump and you want to, and you're making a case to the other part of the party, which is to say, you know, to the establishment part of the party, the never Trumpers, the maybe Trumpers, the anybody who's looking for a reason to leave Trump, you got an object lesson of like, this is what you're going to get, folks. If we stick with Donald Trump, you're going to get this. Even the day that the judge told him to watch it, to simmer down, to not say these inflammatory things, to not say these the attack this DA, to not attack the courts, to not attack the justice system. You know, don't go down the path you've been on. Admonished him in the court and told him that there might be consequences. He went out and did exactly the same thing. And so if I'm Ron DeSantis and I'm trying to appeal to the Karl Roves of the world, the Karl Rove donors of the world, the Club for Growth people, all those people, you have this a very strong thing. This guy's not never going to learn, but most people, I think, know that. I do think that I think most of those people already know that, but if you're able to kind of reinforce the notion that what dangerous Trump is if he becomes the nominee of the party as a potential loser. I think the main thing it's setting up, though, is this incredible coming clash between this judge and Donald Trump, where, you know, everybody has to realize now the next time we're going to see anything about this case is December, okay? We're going to be right on the brink of the Republicans starting to vote in the early part of 2024. They're going to walk in the months leading up to that hearing. Donald Trump's going to be doing this over and over and over again. How long will the judge tolerate
just the beginning.
It? We know that any judge is going to say, he's a former president. He's running. He's the leading candidate running for the nomination of one of the parties. I'm going to give him a wide berth. I can't shut that man down and throw him in jail just for defending himself. But I also can't have him inciting violence out there. So what's the moment between now and then where this judge finally, the judge we saw yesterday, finally says, starts to try to limit Trump's speech in the ways that Roger Stone saw his speech limited? When does that moment come? How fast does it come? And how tough is this judge? How far does Trump have to go? Those are the large political questions, because Donald Trump, with a contempt citation, Donald Trump could be thrown in jail if he violated a gag order. Those are...
Heilman's not wrong. And the reason that I played that clip is because of this clip. Like I said, there's been a lot of schadenfreude. We've had our fun. But over at Real America's Voice, Rave, they've got apparently a morning thing. It's hosted by a maggot by the name of Dr. Gina Loudon. And, well, there was no subtlety. There was no nuance. She was interviewing a Christian author by the name of William J. Federer and unburdened herself of her vision of America.
But then people step forward with faith and courage. And
and we're seeing a little bit of that, don't you think, right now, Bill, when we're seeing how the electorate has responded, even many of Donald Trump's foes have responded. It just calls to my mind the scripture that says all things work together for the good of those who love God and live according to his precepts. And it really does seem like God absolutely is using some of this, not just to.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess that lets nitwit Nero out, loving the Lord and all, and living according to his precepts. Isn't one of those precepts not committing adultery? We're not talking about a one-off. We're talking about a serial fornicator, a serial adulterer. So, maybe according to what this clown believes, things won't work together for good for nitwit Nero.
To shine the light on truth, but also to really increase good in our culture and maybe even to increase our commitment to activism in his name. And that's what I want to ask you.
In whose name? Jesus's or Trump's?
I want to ask you about, you know, none of us look back at what happened in Russia or in Mexico or in especially more recent history, you know, with Hitler, Stalin, Mao. Most of us don't look back at that and think, oh, I would have sat idly by while there.
Once again, Castro can't get any love.
There were death camps. Oh, I would have stood by while they took their guns. But here we are, Bill. Here we are with people saying things like,
there's only one problem. The Third Reich encouraged gun ownership, not took them away. They only took them away from the people they wanted to kill.
I don't watch the news anymore. It's too upsetting for me. What is our role? If we are truly staring down the barrel at massive assassinations like you're talking about, and I don't doubt it for one second. In fact, I would put COVID in that category and a lot of other things that have happened, Afghanistan, and that list goes on. These assassinations might be more veiled, but they're happening every day. Death.
More available? More available. Meanwhile, the blonde sitting next to her has uttered not a peep.
Death camps might not be a thing that we're looking at in America, but death camps are happening every single day. What is your...
Wait, death camps are happening every single day in America? Hello in there, Gina. What color is the sky on your world?
Advice to people as to how to recognize exactly where we are in this turn, right? And exactly how they can identify it and what they can do about it. Because I think that's what it really comes down to when you say pushback, right?
They are aching. They are yearning for blood to run in the streets, even in a country where blood is already running. In schools and malls and grocery stores and movie theaters, all over this country. But it's not enough for them. They want more. I'm so grateful that my mind doesn't work like their minds, that our minds in this community don't work like their minds. Yearning and dreaming of the next blood-soaked nightmare that comes to this country. God. Yeah, Randy, more veiled. I know. Oh, and by the way, a little giggle. I talked about the guy with the machete and the alligator. Florida man. Frank, out in Iowa. Says, so an alligator goes into a bar, orders a martini. Bartender comes and brings the martini and says, that'll be $1,000. And then the barkeep says, you know, we don't get too many alligators in here. And the alligator says, with prices like yours, it's understandable. Ah. Horse walks into a bar. Bartender says, why the long face? Just love that one. Oh, and Clarence. Hi, Clarence. Fake electors, did candidate Dan Kelly advise on plan? Robin, that POS was all in on the fake elector scheme. It is pure pleasure to see the guy who he conspired with dropped him like a hot potato. Again, the schadenfreude has been running fast and deep and broad. So that's it. That's the program. That's Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Thanks so much to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so very much. Thanks for responding to Cat's challenge. We are at $460 to go. That means we'll be at $760 tomorrow if the overnight crew wants to jump in. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Sorry. I like to give thanks where thanks are due. I don't know who went and done the moderating. Oh, hey, Claire came into the room. Hi, Claire. Thank you, Steve from Georgia Stan, for moderating. Claire said, nothing happens when you put on a diamond girl. It's all those mind games that hundreds of years of diamond marketing have been working on the gullible. It's a very hard see-through rock, and it just happens to be hard to find, that's all. True. Actually, and actually, a diamond is not the rarest of gemstones. That's a sapphire. So, true. Academic, anyway. Thank you, Steve, for moderating this evening, and thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live, who now runs the backup recording in addition to running HeadOn.live. Fortunately, I hit record this evening. Remember, like and subscribe whatever podcast platform you listen on. Leave us a comment. Word. Press the heart button over it. Tune in. Let's get to that 1,000th tune in listener. Wish there was some way of knowing who it was. You'd get a special cowbell. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Even though I'm not in D.C. anymore, I'm still working on the AIC Act, as is my colleague, who will be going there this month. Please stay safe. Get your booster while it's still free. Flu shot's still a good idea, especially places where it's still cold. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Avoid maggots at all costs. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And if some blonde doctor comes towards you prattling on about what they did to Donald Trump was just like what Pol Pot and Stalin and Hitler did and Chairman Mao, well, avoid the doctor like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.